Hey, detailers, have you heard about HyperClean? It's an ultra-concentrated line of cleaners. What does that mean? It means since it's not pre-mixed with water, this saves you, the detailer, in shipping costs and allows you to mix it in a 5-gallon cube at only $5 a gallon. If you're looking to bring costs down and profits up, go download the Detail Supply app. We have an exclusive coupon code for our listeners. Use DETAIL15 at checkout and save 15% on all HyperClean products. That's DETAIL15 on the Detail Supply app for 15% off all HyperClean products or at www.hypercleansaves.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Noxy. Thanks for listening to the Detailed Solutions podcast. And now, a little bit more about one of our sponsors. Alex, have you heard about the paint assassins on Facebook?
No, Noxy, what's that?
I'm glad you asked, you wrinkled little booby. Paint assassins was started by a dude named Jason Bruno to where detailers can find the camaraderie that they're looking for without any of the negative trolling bullshit like other Facebook groups. Not only that, but they can compete with their work weekly, monthly, or yearly to win prizes. Oh, dude, and they make sick merchandise, so you always have fresh gear to wear. Anyway, y'all want to check it out? Again, it's Paint Assassins on Facebook or Instagram. Check it out.
Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm going to be your host. Again, I plead with you guys, please make sure that you're subscribing to us. You're clicking the notification link so that you get that notification when the new episodes drop. And please leave us a review. 5 stars would be awesome. Take a couple seconds out of your time. Write a nice little deal. It just helps with all of the different platforms for us to get a little bit higher up when people search for anything, especially if they're searching detailing related podcasts. And then again, Anchor has the option where you can leave a voice recording. And if I get some pretty cool things, I will do my best to try and put you into the episode. And with that, on with the show.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Detail Solutions Podcast. This week, I've got somebody that I've looked up to or looked at for a little bit here, has been putting out some stellar work. So it's time to get to know him. So, Josh, let everyone know who you are, where you're from, and what do you do?
How's it going? My name's Josh Broffman. I'm the owner and operator of Details Done Right, based out of Clearwater, Florida. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I've been in Florida now since 2013.
Nice, nice. And so what do you do? You're obviously a detailer, so.
Yeah. Small word, yes.
Yeah. So when did you get into detailing?
All right, so I am 40 years old. I have been doing this is my 25th year now.
Nice.
I always worked with cars my whole life. And detailing is kind of like where I started.
Okay.
And then, you know, I was in the body shop industry for a long time as well. And then, you know, I also worked at salvage yards. You know, I've done a lot of stuff, but pretty much are all car based.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yep.
So, when you say you kind of, you know, started detailing and obviously you've done a couple of different things. So when did you come back to detailing that you're doing now, running your own business and everything like that?
All right. So, I mean, pretty much I never really left detailing, okay. Regardless or not. I still always did it for, you know, friends and like my little group of customers. You know, I kind of always had, you know what I mean, a group of customers,
right?
You know, that I would do stuff for, and I was always into like doing it on my own cars too. So I started, I was 14 years old. My dad's really good friend. He had a small used car lot that specialized in like higher end stuff. He had some, some Mercedes, some Jaguars, a couple BMWs. He probably 15 to 20 car inventory at any given time.
Right.
And my dad was really good friends with him, and it was really close to my house. So we used to go there a lot. And I used to just like love walking the lot, just looking at the cars. I mean, it was just, that was something I just always liked. I loved the different lines of them and, you know, just anything. Well, it turned out, I don't know, probably 6 months or so of us going there. Usually like on the weekends, we'd go hang out and, you know, him and my dad would kind of just, you know, chop it up and hang out. And I would just kind of just be in the back, like in their little shop they had, talking to the guys that he had working and just looking at cars. Well, he offered me like an after school gig. And so I started going there after school and, you know, I started just, you know, learning the process of like, you know, washing a car and then, you know, and properly drying it. And then I just kind of just stepped my way up from there. And he had this old guy, and he was probably at this time, he was probably late 60s.
Okay.
And he was kind of ornery, you know what I mean? And me first being around, he was kind of, you know, kind of dickish to me, I guess, you know,
but
once he like saw that, like, I really had a passion for like the cars and stuff, he started, you know, kind of like molding me a little bit. And I just literally fell in love from there. And, you know, so like I said, I'm originally from up north. So, you know, detailing was always a good secondary income, but it was hard to make a real living at it because, it, you know, the weather sucked. You know, it did. I mean, people didn't want to spend the money on their cars because it's going to get trashed. You know what I mean? At least that was their thinking. And I mean, this is, you know, we're talking way before any kind of like, you know, semi-permanent or permanent coatings and, you know, stuff like that. Like, dude, we had like waxes, like colonite and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And so pretty much, you know, it went from there. And so, like I said, I did other stuff, but it was always car related. And then, so I got a good opportunity. The guy I was just telling you about that worked for my dad's buddy, the older guy. He did paint and body work for him too. I mean, they didn't like do whole cars, but like he'd fix a fender or, or a dent. So he started kind of teaching me about that. Well, I started to get kind of fascinated in that. And so therefore I took like kind of like a paid apprenticeship, you know what I mean? It was low guy on the totem pole. For a body shop. And then there that started, you know, a whole new cycle. But you know, part of my job there was like the final prep for before the customer picked the car up because I had that skill set, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. So you could polish them up and finish them down and get them looking.
Color sand them, you know, de-nib them, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. You know, I had that skill set already. So therefore, you know, that was kind of part of my thing. And when I wasn't doing that, I was in the shop kind of learning more stuff, you know, how to prime, you know, how to, you know, just all the different aspects. And I've always been, if it comes to cars, motorcycles, trucks, it always has my attention. So for me to learn it, if I'm interested in it, I'm all about it. You know what I mean? And that's pretty much just how it went.
So when did you move down here then?
So I moved to Florida in July of 2013. At the time when I moved here, I actually owned a body shop, up, you know, in, Erie, Pennsylvania, which is a little bit north of Pittsburgh where I'm originally from. But I lived there for quite a few years as well. And honestly, I just, it was time for a change for me. Like the city, you know, don't be wrong. I mean, I love it. It was a home to me for a long time, but it's kind of one of those slower paced cities. And I just kind of felt like I saw a bigger picture than me being there and just kind of getting by.
So you moved down here in 2013. Did you, that when you started your detail business down here or
no, actually, absolutely not. So when I came down here, literally, it was just me and my wife at the time. Okay. And I didn't know anybody. I lied. I had one friend here, and that it was a friend I knew from high school. And she actually is the one who helped us find our place here because, I mean, you know, coming back and forth all the time, trying to look at places, it's tough.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So I come down here, and I didn't even have a job. You know, I had money saved up. I had got rid of my portion of my business. And therefore, you know, so I had some money to work with, but I mean, I had to do something. It wasn't like, you know, I was going to be able to not work for a year.
Right. Right.
So what I did is when I came down here, I knew I wanted to get involved in the cars, but I mean, this is a whole different ball game than where I'm from. So I had to learn it. You know, I had to learn how Florida does things and how it works, you know, because every market's different.
Oh yeah.
So,
yeah.
I took a job at a salvage yard, and I was, you know, selling used parts and body parts. And, you know, like I said, I come from a body shop background, and I also come, you know, I did a lot of mechanic work too, growing up. So therefore I had a good understanding for that stuff. So it was an easy for me to get in and start making a decent living. I mean, it wasn't like where I wanted to stop, but you know, I could support my family and you know what I mean? And therefore I would start, you know, kind of rubbing shoulders with different connections and then kind of figure out where I fit.
Gotcha.
Yep.
And then, so when did you start your detailing business here then?
So, my business now has been since January of 2017.
Okay. Nice.
Yep. So January of 17.
A few years on.
And like I said, I was still detailing this whole time as well. Mind you, you know what I mean? Like, neighbors, you know what I mean? And they would refer a friend, you know, so I was still doing it. But like I said, it was still kind of a part-time thing, you know what I mean? Kind of feed my passion, but also kind of, you know, help line my pockets a little bit.
Yeah.
And kind of start to build a little bit of a reputation and a customer base.
Nice. So did you start out mobile or did you jump right into a shop or...
So funny enough, I started this business literally from working at different dealerships. So it's funny I say that because, I mean, you know, Marty from Pints and Polishing, they've been having a lot of talks about dealer work.
Yeah.
I'm the king of dealer work.
Right.
And it's just, you know, that's kind of like what happened. So I took an offer from a company and I was a subcontractor for them. So therefore I had to establish my business.
Right.
And I would work under their umbrella, you know, as far as like dealer stuff. And, you know, they would take, you know, some royalties from it is kind of how it worked.
Right.
But it was great because, you know, that got me going further in the direction where I wanted to go.
Gotcha.
I started off, I had like two dealerships and I had maybe 15 to 20 customers, but they were kind of just every now and again customers. Like I didn't have a steady, you know what I mean, momentum.
Right, right. So it was nice to kind of have that dealership work to kind of fall back on or have to fill while you build a customer base. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So the dealership work literally was my bread and butter. That was my job, you know, doing, you know, scratches, you know, cause I'm real proficient with wet sanding, stuff like that. So I would do scratch repair, you know, stuff that their detail department wasn't capable of doing, you know? Gotcha. So then they would do their detail. And then before the car went to the front line, I would, you know, get it to where it needed to be.
Right.
You know, especially like CPO cars, certified pre-owned.
Yeah.
You know, the brands are picky about that stuff. You know, they have to meet certain requirements. So therefore, I started doing dealer work and sure enough, my name just started circling around. Like this guy does great touch-up. Cause I do touch-up. I still do it to this day.
Okay.
I make every color by eye.
Oh, nice.
I never use a paint code.
Wow.
I can do tri-stage pearls, whatever, by eye. But that's like, that comes from my body shop background, tinted colors, you know, stuff like that. So therefore, like pretty much my whole life, you know, the last 24, you know, 25 years, I've kind of just been honing a skill set. You know, I add little bits and pieces and I'm really happy with where I'm at now. Like, you know what I mean?
That's awesome.
It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's good that you have been able to take like a little bit from everything that you've done to be able to be a more well-rounded detailer, right? Because like that's kind of one of my things, you know. One of my next steps or next goals or whatever, hopefully when we can start getting back into some training, is I'd love to go with Aaron and learn wet sanding, right? Like that's the one piece that I really don't, you know, have a grasp on. I mean, I can do it. I've done it before. But I got in my head because I didn't go too far in the sanding. I went too far in the polishing out and kind of burned some paint.
Yep.
Luckily for me, I was in a situation like you were in. It was for a little used car dealership that was a client of mine. And they were like, we don't care. You took a car that we probably couldn't sell for like $800. And because you wet sanded out the whole rear end and made it look nice again and polished it out, now we can sell it for like $3,000 or $4,000.
Yep.
I don't care about that little burn mark, but and it put a block in my head. Like I just, I don't want to touch anything. And I've been fortunate enough too, that most of my clientele is newer cars and they don't need wet sanding. But that's nice that you have taken those bits and pieces through everything you've done. And you've been able to well-round yourself and be an all around, you know, detailer that can handle whatever it is, you know, the paint touch up, denibbing and the wet sanding and polishing everything like that. So that's really cool, man.
It is. I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's awesome. It is. But you know, another thing too, I mean, there's the gift and then there's the curse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes I get carried away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, because like, you know, you see something and you're like, I'm going to get this spot just because it just stands out.
Right.
And then there's 10 more spots that come along with it that now that spot looks good. Well, now this is the second worst spot.
Right.
And then you're into, you know, like, let's be honest, you know, I mean, I do a lot of high end cars. I do a lot of specialized cars.
Right. Right.
But I'm still a production company. You know, I still have to, you know, meet within the budget and I still have to meet within time restraints, and, you know, just everything. So. Yeah. I call it the gift and the curse.
No. I mean, I can understand that because when I talked with Michael McCarthy, you know, I mean, that kid wet sands everything, right?
Dude, he is an absolute animal.
Right. And you know, I asked him about that. I was like, so when you're selling these jobs, are you selling a wet sand on everything? And he goes, no. He goes, that's just me seeing something. And I go, well, I can wet sand it out. But like you just said, now I've wet sanded this part. Now I've got to wet sand that part. And next thing, he's wet sanded the whole car. And then he's polishing out and everything. And so you're right. It's a gift and a curse because, you know, that's exactly kind of how he described it. And, you know, I mean, the guy's,
you know,
like you said, he's a beast. I mean, he's an animal, right? Like he just, phenomenal work. But again, like to me, that's kind of like, you know, I look at it as, when I'm doing paint correction and I see a scratch and I'm like, I know the client's never going to see that, but I keep kind of going at it, but I'm not wet sanding to wet sand out a whole car. So you guys are kind of crazy, man. You guys.
Yeah. And you know, and that's the thing, like, you know, I've always been a fan of his work.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of his thinking, I don't really know him, you know what I mean? But, but I've chatted with him on Facebook here and there and whatever, but you know, a lot of his thinking, like, you know, the stuff he posts, I read it and he's got a lot of the same thinking I do because like my passion, like I'm just doing what I love.
Yeah. I think we all
know. And sometimes like for me, it's not about the money. Like God knows how many jobs that I should have charged way more, but at the end of it, I'll be honest. The money's great because we need money to live.
Yeah.
But the smile and the way that people react, I mean, that's it for me.
Yeah. And sometimes you want to do it just to prove that you can do it. Like, it doesn't matter if you're getting paid. Absolutely. You're like, I can do this. I'm going to do it. Dude. And this customer's going to be blown away. No, trust me. Yeah. I've done that before too, where I'm like, oh man, they really didn't pay for paint correction. They paid for a hyper polish, but you know what, man, it really doesn't take that much more. Like, I'm going to do it just to do it. Like,
yep.
Yeah. So you're not a spring chicken. No. you're a couple of years behind me. What do you think, or how long do you think you'll keep detailing for? And do you have like a goal for, like, I call it your put down your buffer date, right? Or your polisher date, whatever we want to call them. So, like, do you have a timeline? Or are you just going to ride this? I mean, they're going to pick you up on a gurney, still clutching your polisher, and throw you in the casket kind of deal? Or are you like lining up for, okay, like at a certain time frame, I know I'll have to put it down, and this is what I'm going to work towards going after that.
So I'm really glad that you asked that, because so this is something that I go back and forth about in my head.
Right.
Cause I'm a very in my head person. Like I think about a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And that's definitely something. So what I will say is that I don't have a date. I don't have an age, but I do know. So right now, my nephew moved here about 6 months ago, and he's been training under me. So now he works with me. And so, you know, I'm like really opening up to him and showing him some of my, you know, secrets and some of the stuff that's helped me get through. Right. So he doesn't make some of the mistakes I did, you know, and my daughter. So I have a daughter as well, who's 17. She's very involved, but she's only here at the moment in the summers and then for holidays. But she is going to be moving down here when she graduates in June. And so therefore, what I really want to see happen and what I think my goal is to not maybe just say put my polisher down, but to say that I would like to be able to step back kind of oversee things and help open up some new doors and let them kind of, you know what I mean? You know, take my cleats.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I'm sure there's going to be times where, you know, hey, they need help, or hey, there's a job, you know, there's a car coming in and I'm sorry, I'm doing it. You know what I mean? And that's just it.
No,
but I don't know, man. I really don't know.
I'm the same way. And it's funny, cause I don't know if you heard the podcast with Aaron the other night, you know?
I listened to it.
Aaron's like, you know, bro, you're old as fuck. Why are you still detailing? You know, it's like, but like, to me, I still have Peter Pan complex, right? Like, I don't feel I'm as old as I am. Right. I still,
me either.
Until my body like is like, you know, bro, slow down or whatever. Yeah. You know, but I'm kind of the same way. Like, I don't have, you know, like I keep thinking like, okay, like I really, do I want to do this in 5 more years? Do I want to do this in 10 more years? Like, kind of, no, like I don't want to be that 55, 60 year old guy that's still detailing cars. But at the same time, like if I'm still making good money and I can still do it, like, why wouldn't I?
Right. You know,
maybe the podcast thing will take off. We'll start making money at podcasting. I can do that. You know, maybe some companies will say, hey, Alex, come work for us. You've done pretty good. Anybody who's listening, you know, I'm kind of the same way, man. I don't, you know, like I take everything day to day, man. You know what I mean? I don't know where I'll be next week, let alone in 5 years. So, but that's cool that you've got some stuff lined up and planned and everything.
Right. And like I said, it's opening steps, but I mean, that's kind of like where my heart wants to go with it. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. Yeah. But at least you've got the idea so you could start working towards it versus, you know, all of a sudden one day you're like, fuck, I'm old and I can't do this anymore. What the fuck do I do? You know? I think that's, you know, a lot of people don't look forward on that type of stuff. So you seem like you're very well-rounded in everything in detailing. What's something that you haven't learned yet that you want to learn?
So funny enough. So, the thing with my daughter, daughter's obsessed with wraps, car wraps.
Yep.
She wants to wrap cars. I mean, that's one of her big things. I've done some. I've never done a full car, but, you know, I've done plenty of single panels. I've done graphics, you know. I definitely would like to do more of that and kind of maybe get more. And then, like, you know, like PPF's another thing. And I know you do some of that. And then I have some good friends of mine, you know, locally, who I kind of middleman some PPF stuff to if I have a customer that needs it done.
Right, right.
But that's definitely something, I mean, where my head kind of goes is I would like to, you know, maybe, you know, build some skill set at both of those with like wrapping cars and PPF. I don't know that that's going to be like a main focus of where I want my business to go, but it's definitely something that I would like to know to the point where that I'm comfortable saying, hey, you want to wrap? Let's do it. You know what I mean?
So, right. It's just an add-on service, you know?
Right.
There's nothing wrong with being able to offer a different service for more income. Right. I mean, that's the whole reason why I kind of jumped in on the PPF bandwagon was because I started seeing how much I was paying or how much the PPF guy that I was subcontracting out was making per car. And I was kind of like, well, that's ridiculous. Like he's using my shop, you know, to make my clients more convenient and he's making this much money. Well, why am I not getting in on this, you know? And so that's why I ended up jumping in on it.
And then there's one more thing that, you know, so because I'm well-rounded, I mean, you know, I've done interior repair, I've done wheel repair. I mean, I've done all of that stuff. But PDR is another thing that I kind of have some interest in, you know, but like I said, it's one of those things like, you know, I might wake up next week and be like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to buy some tools.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give a run, maybe do a little training. I never know, you know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly what, you know, like what my mind, but like, you know, everything I try to do, I always try to make sure that my mind and my heart is in it. And if they are, then I know it's a decent move for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah, no, definitely. Cause so if those, one of them's not in it, you're going to be terrible at it.
Exactly.
And then you're going to get like shit on all over town, you know,
exactly.
Like,
and then
don't go to know, that
you
guy.
Go from a person that has a decent reputation in the services you already provide.
Right.
And like, let's be honest, 100 great jobs don't mean shit to that one bad job.
Exactly.
That one bad job will wreck all of it.
Yeah. Kill you. Exactly.
And so therefore, and I mean, let's be honest, you know, this industry is getting super competitive.
Yeah.
There's places, I mean, just in Tampa area alone, dude, there's probably 100 shops.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Probably more.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
It seems like every day there's a new detailer, you know, popping up somewhere, you know, and, you know, I'm still a firm believer in there's plenty of cars for all of us to go around, you know, so I'm not one of those ones that, you know, gets all bent out of shape about, oh man, there comes another guy again.
Right.
You know, I'm not even the type of guy that gets bent out of shape about the $400 ceramic guy, you know, let him be because those aren't clients I want anyways. I don't want somebody that's going to pay $400 for ceramic because that person is just going to be a nightmare client. Like are going to be on you like every day after you do the car kind of deal.
For sure.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, it gets a little frustrating sometimes when you're like, oh my God, there's another guy. But at the same time, like, you know, I was just having this conversation with Dean, I'll probably butcher his name. It's Ferrantos. He runs the Detailer Guild Facebook page. He's up in Canada. Okay. And I was talking to him yesterday because we were kind of having this conversation. And, you know, I mean, I have that car wash background. I mean, we were washing like a slow rainy day. We would still wash 400 cars, right?
Right.
And like, I think about it, like, give me half of what a slow day at the car wash is for the whole year. Right. 200 cars or so. That's still a car a day with your couple of days off kind of deal. And I would be happy. So if the car wash can do that kind of numbers every day and repeatedly, and I know it's a different service in what we're doing, but still like that just proves how to me, how many cars are out there and how many detailers can be out there and will all still live, you know, as long as you're doing good work, you'll keep the client base and you'll look
absolutely.
You'll always eat.
Going to like those, you know, like the $400 guys and whatever, you know, You know, don't get me wrong. I have some packages, you know, for some lower level stuff for people to fit in a budget.
Right. We all but do.
At the end of the day, I mean, here's how I look at it. Not all money is good money. Right. I don't care. It's just not. You know, the stuff that comes along with it, it's just not. It's not always good money.
Exactly.
So
sometimes it's a nightmare pain in the ass client. Yeah. You don't want to deal with.
I would rather pay the customer back.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So like myself, you two were snubbed in the voting of, you were an up and coming paint assassin of the year. So you were snubbed in the voting on that. Thanks everybody for not voting for Josh. Yeah. We like that. And not voting for me. Awesome. Appreciate it. I kid. How did you feel when you first found out that you were nominated? Like what was going through your mind, you know, and how did you find out? Did you find out on the Facebook page or did Jason actually tell you? Because I know you and Jason are close or, you know.
Yeah. So he kind of made a hint to me that, you know what I mean? That was coming up or whatever, you know, and I didn't think, but then I saw I was nominated and I'll be honest. So this whole thing with, you know, being like, you know, in Paint Assassins and some of the other groups, like that literally all just happened last year at MTE. So last year at MTE was my first time ever going to something like that.
Okay.
Like I've never been an out in front of everybody guy. Like I've never wanted to be that guy.
Right.
You know, you know, my people knew me and I knew them and that was always good by me. Well, so when I went to MTE, you know, last year for the first time, the amount of people coming up to me and knowing me, I was like floored. Like, what? Yeah. You know me? Like, dude, I see your stuff on Instagram all the time. Like, you're amazing. And I'm like, dude, thank you so much. Like, you know, and I've had that talk. I had that talk with Jason before too, you know, like I never really expected it and it, but it was a good feeling, you know, but I'm not really a competitive guy.
Yeah.
I'm really not. Like I've always done this because it's what I love. And I like cars and I like building relationships. Like the relationships I have with my customers mean the world to me. Like I have some of the best clientele there is.
Right.
And you know what I mean? So that's good. You know, interaction, you know, that's a dying thing. I mean, let's be honest. Everybody's stuck behind phones, computers, internet, social media. I mean, dude, I have so many friends on Facebook that I've never met a day in my life.
Right. Like, it's unbelievable. Raise my hand. Here I am.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah. So, you know what I mean? It was cool. It was a cool feeling. It was, and I didn't feel any type of way because I'll be honest. I mean, I was up against some good dudes. I mean, there was some good dudes.
Listen, everybody across the board was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, fuck Chris Cormie for winning, whatever. But no, I get. Yeah, no, like you
Cormie's
know,
like everybody's favorite.
I know. Listen. I you know. I think I tried to between my emails and Michelle's emails. I think I tried to be fair and I not only voting for myself, but I tried to vote for everybody else too. So who knows, maybe my vote for Cormie put him over the edge. I don't know.
Right.
But no, you know, I think of it the same way. I mean, it's, you know, like when Jason told me about it and then he told me like the rest of the people that were in it, I'm like, dude, like, come on, man. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, so, you know, it was awesome. I mean, I'll always say it was an honor to be nominated and I appreciate everybody, whoever it was that even nominated me for that. I thank you so much.
Yeah. Same here.
But, it was a fun thing. I'm glad, Jason did that. I think it turned out really good. And I look forward to,
I mean, all of that stuff is really good. I mean, there's a lot of effort put into all that. Yeah. I mean, it's good compared to a lot of the other groups that are out there and everything. Yeah. I mean, dude, you know, it's definitely a great group and there's good people in there, not only good work, but you know, I feel like everybody is mature to a certain extent. Right. Except, I don't know, Ted Ripley, he's, you know, he's a little wishy-washy, but he's old, yeah. So we're going to leave him alone.
I don't think Ted can even figure out how to listen to a podcast. I don't think he'll even hear that comment. I think Jason's invited him to be on, like, one of the What's On Your Mind episodes, if he could ever figure out how to work the internet.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but you're right. I mean, and I've said it enough times. It's really a great group. I'm super appreciative of Jason, you know, for having that group, because before I joined that group, I didn't, you know, I mean, like, I was doing paint corrections, but not at the level I am now. And I attribute that to this group, to the likes of, you know, Aaron Knox and Christopher Cormie and Bill Martin and Jason Brudo and Giancarlo, and I mean, fucking the list goes on and on and on and on and on. I mean, I think everybody in that group, like, you know, I might not remember everybody because there's so many new people coming in, but it's like every day I'm wowed by pictures in that group. You know, it just blows me away.
I think one of my favorite things also would be to add to that is there's a lot of real support in that group. You know, there's a lot of real support. If you ask a question, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a real answer. It's not going to be some, you know, smart ass comment, you know, somebody trying to troll. Don't get me wrong. I mean, everybody razzles each other. It is what it is.
Yeah. You know? But it's definitely not like other Facebook groups, and we won't get into them.
Absolutely not. I agree.
So what are some things that you like to do outside of detailing? What kind of hobbies or passion projects do you have?
So for me, I am huge into drag racing.
Oh, nice.
So drag racing. I used to do a lot of car shows. I've had some show cars, you know, stuff like that. But you know, pretty much, I mean, for me, you know, I'm older, so like, I just, you know, anymore, I'm kind of calm and tame compared to what I used to be. More or less, I'm kind of focused on work. You know, I hang out at home a lot. I play a lot of Call of Duty, I'll tell you that. you know, stuff like that. But yeah, I would think as far as activities go, I mean, any chance I can get to any kind of a drag race, I try to get there.
Nice.
I still like to go to shows. I like to go to big shows, though, you know, out of town stuff.
Right.
Stuff where I'm not seeing all the same things. And I mean, that's about it. Like, I'm just a car guy, Alex. Really, I am.
We kind of all are. I mean, to be in this industry, I mean,
we kind of
have to be at some level. I mean, some of us are exotics and some of us are, you know, rat rods and some of us are classics.
I love
and,
all of them.
Yeah. You know, and some of us love Toyota Camrys. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
So who's somebody that you look up into the industry or have you had any mentors? Who's somebody who's mentored you or helped you?
So, you know, like I can't say I've really had too many mentors, but I've definitely had some people help me out. You know, Aaron Knox, he's one. I don't know him personally, but we've talked, you know,
he probably helped a good me. Thing you don't. It's not worth it.
Yeah. He cracks me up, but, you know, he helped get me kind of, you know, him and Bruno both kind of helped get me, you know, set up with Nautique, you know what I mean? For doing, I don't do a lot of boats, but, you know, I do have some customers that do it. So he's helped me there. And any question I ever had about any of it, he was always good about that.
Yeah.
You know, Michael McCarthy, I love his work, dude. Yeah. And he does some really cool cars. Like a lot of the import stuff he does. You know, it's rare stuff, you know, it's stuff you don't see all the time. And just his passion for it. Like I said, I have a big passion. You know, Cormie, he does great work. You know, your work's phenomenal. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that, you know, I look at and I'm like, wow, like, you know, like these guys, you know, they're really, you know, doing it, like doing great stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, so that's pretty much it. But you know, and like I said, I mean, anybody that I've ever tried to, like, you know, seriously ask for, like, help on something, like if I'm stumped, I've always got a good answer. You know what I mean? And that's something that, you know, I'm thankful for. You know what I mean? So getting to kind of, like, know you guys. And
And even, you know, outside of the Paint Assassin group, you know, detailers in general, I think, you know, are pretty good about helping people out unless for some reason they're just in either intimidated or, you know, feel threatened by you.
Yeah.
Then they'll give you some shit information or whatever. But I think for the most part, you know, Pain Assassins, pretty much any group except for that one group, you know, you're going to get somebody that, you know, they're going to help you out and they're going to push you forward. And I think that's awesome, because I always tell people, you know, I try to help anybody that I can, because had that person not been there for me, you know, to answer my questions, you know, in different groups and forums and stuff like that, when I was starting, you know, I wouldn't be in a position that I'm at. So I think it's good that everybody tries to pay it forward or pay it back, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah.
Let's see where I'm at. If you could go back and give yourself advice when you first started your business, what would it be?
That's a tough one. I would say probably one of the first things I would tell myself is to just stay persistent and, you know, fight through the bumps. There's a lot of bumps, especially having a business. And you know, when you own a business and you're the owner operator, I mean, you know, this, you know, stuff in your personal life, everything affects that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it makes it tough, you know, and you know, I'm not perfect, you know, I've had some issues. And so there's a lot of times that, you know, I've, you know, kind of got hard on myself. But, you know, I've realized, I think persistence, you know, and I think that's something, if I would have known that, you know, now, or what I know, like now, then I think this probably would have came into light earlier. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But that's probably one of the main things. 'Cause I'll be honest. I mean, you know, I'm super proud of you know, of everything that I've been able to accomplish. I'm proud of it, and it, you know what I mean, it's a great feeling, you know, just being able to do this, you know, and like I said, I mean, I'm older, but I'm still, you know, going good. I mean, I still get the job done, I'm still
right.
You know, efficient, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Stuff like that. So but yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Nice. So if you could do a training this year, trainings are, they're talking about starting back up. If you could do a training this year, what training would you want to go to? Would it kind of fall back into the wraps and PPF thing, or?
So here's the thing. So I'll be honest. I would love to do like Rennie Doyle's thing.
Nice.
I would like to do that. You know, just because I've heard such great things about it.
Yeah.
I've done some training with like Justin Lobato. He's a great dude. I would definitely do more of his stuff.
Right.
And then I would, yeah, I definitely like PPF and rap, and that's something that's actually going to come into play. I mean, I'm definitely, that is an absolute 100%. I'm definitely going to do that training.
Right.
But you know, the other stuff is stuff that it's in my head, but first and foremost is the PPF and rap stuff, because I just have a big interest in, my daughter's my world, and
right.
She has an interest in it. So she's interested, I'm interested.
Right. Because
I want to be there to support her. You know what I'm saying?
Plus,
you know,
plus it gives you that daddy daughter time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean,
you have a daughter, you know how it is.
Listen, I'm not a cheerleader, but by God, man, I am there, man. Like, I mean, like I sit on the couch and watch cheerleading YouTube videos with her, because sometimes that's the only time I get with her, you know. I mean, she's like, Dad, I ain't going to be with my friends now. I totally understand. What's one of your greatest achievements in detailing?
One of my greatest achievements in detailing. I have a pretty cool list of celebrity cars I've done. Nice. I've done quite a few celebrity cars. And in 2017, when I first started my business, I was recognized by Mercedes-Benz of USA. For like the CPO stuff, you know, right. I was noticed by them, and actually they have an internal thing like where they do newsletters and all that. And, you know, I had a picture in there and stuff like that. And they talked about my reconditioning, you know, experience, and what I was able to do with some of the cars. So
that was cool. Man.
I did a really great, a 1973 Land Rover Defender. Wow. for Jaguar Land Rover. I did it for them for a grand opening of the St. Petersburg, Florida store.
Okay.
And they had this big, huge party with like all the top execs. And it was staged, and you know what I mean? There was a ton of before and afters.
Oh, nice.
It was super cool. Awesome. And it's so funny. 2 weeks ago, I was in Tampa doing a mobile job.
Uh-huh.
That Defender
is still there.
Lives on that street.
Nice.
Whoever bought it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And dude, I took a picture of it. It still looks phenomenal.
Oh, that's awesome. So at least whoever got it is taking care of it.
Yeah. And it was all original paint.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's neat. You know, it's like one of the old Safari ones.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? No. I know. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Those are badass.
But yeah, those are probably some of my prouder moments. I don't really know what my proudest moment would be. I have a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. I'm humbled by all of it. You know, like I said, I never thought that me just following my love and passion would turn into like full time, like,
right.
You know, I'm starting to build an employee thing. You know what I mean? Like it's starting to, you know, really get good. I never thought, you know,
right.
Something that I always did just because I liked it, you know?
Right. Listen, and that's the greatest reward right there, because, you know, again, you know, like the saying goes, you know, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Right.
You know? So that's awesome. So you're on TikTok, and you're not like Gray Scott on TikTok. You're actually like a detailer on TikTok. Nothing against Gray. We love Gray and his peacock onesie. So my question to you is, because I'm not really on it enough, I scroll through the funny videos and the comedy stuff and things like that. But I'm not on it like showing off stuff. So have you reaped any rewards from it?
Funny you said that.
Right.
Today,
this
morning, I booked my first job from TikTok.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because, you know, talking with Marty, Marty's our friend, Marty's a sponsor.
Yeah.
Marty has not only said on my podcast, he screamed it on his podcast, that detailers need to be on TikTok. It's just another way to advertise. And like he always puts it in a good light, right? Like it's not necessarily just you posting your work and hoping that somebody catches it and books an appointment, you know, like probably what happened with you. And that's awesome. His thing is like the interaction, right? So like, you know, you interact with people that are local to you. You comment on their things like, oh, that's awesome. You know, if, you know, like he used the analogy for me, like commenting on, other cheerleading videos, right? Because my daughter does cheerleading. Like, oh, that's cool. Like my daughter's on this team. My daughter does that, you know, and then it's like, they start recognize you, that you comment on their stuff. And then they go and they look at you and they go, oh, well, his daughter's on cheerleading. What's he doing? And then all of a sudden they see car washing videos and they go, well, I need a car wash or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how he's always perceiving it to be. So do you know how that person found you, how they were, you know, like saw your TikTok, how they found you, all that stuff? Do you have the story?
So with a lot of my videos, I mean, you know, we're friends on TikTok. You like my stuff and I, you know, I like yours as well. So I just, you know, I put, you know, details done right, and then Clearwater, Florida, and sometimes a little heading. And the lady just, stumbled across it one time. It was on her For You page.
Nice.
And, you know, she liked it. And then from there, she like, you know, added me and, you know, we chatted. And she was from Clearwater originally, but now she lives in Ybor, which is right in Tampa.
Yeah.
So she's local, and whatever. And so it kind of just went from there. But you know, more or less, I just, you know, anything that you can do, I mean, dude, it's free.
Yeah.
It's free. And it's something that's not Facebook. It's not Instagram. It's not Snapchat. It's just different.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's kind of fun. So it's just, you know, something different, you know, because like, I'll be honest. I mean, you're a business owner too. You know, you work all day and then you got to keep social media updated and that becomes very draining.
Oh, yeah.
So when you break up the monotony with something different, yes, it's social media, but it's different. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like the thing. So it's kind of cool. And, you know, I love seeing the comments and, you know, I like interacting with people. I like that. You know, I like talking to people. So it's neat, you know.
That's cool.
And, you know, like Gray Scott, he shows me love all the time on TikTok. So.
Listen, Gray's the best. I know he's, you know, he's not detailing as much anymore. And he is the peacock, or the TikTok peacock or whatever.
Yeah.
That peacock onesie just, dude, absolutely kills me every time I see it. But yeah, I mean, I've got to get more into it. I just, you know, it's like you said, man, sometimes by the time I come home and then, you know, dealing with helping out with homework or making lunch or going to cheerleading and, you know, sitting for 2.5 hours of cheerleading or whatever, you know, and then come home and trying to scroll through Facebook to respond to people or post something. It's just like, you know, TikTok is still kind of like the furthest thing from my mind sometimes. Yeah. I mean, like I'll get suckered into it when I get into it and I'll start scrolling through videos. And then like, you know, next thing you know, like 2 hours have gone by and, you know, my daughter be like, oh, what are you TikToking again? You're addicted to it. I'm like, it's the first time I've been on it in 8 days. Like, you know, give me a break kind of thing. So that's where I know I've got to get more involved with it. Cause I see like you posting all the time, Walt's posting all the time, Jason's posting all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
Anthony Carrera posts a lot.
Yeah. 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 Anthony's the other one. Yeah. You know, and it's like I see it, but like, it's kind of like, okay, I'll make a video tomorrow when I'm doing a car. But then my problem is I get there and I'm so focused on like, all right, let's get this done. But then I don't think about shooting videos, you know, until kind of like after or whatever, when I do my afters. But yeah.
I'm super fortunate because like my nephew, you know, who's working for me.
Right, right.
He does amazing photos and videos.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, he does a lot of, you know, a lot of that stuff for me. And then he just sends them to me. And like, I'll be honest, like we do a lot of cars. So I'm lucky because I have tons of content,
right,
like enough where I don't even have to take more, but we always do.
Right.
But I don't have to post it right then. So sometimes it's good just to, you know, I could just go through my, you know, pictures real quick, tap a couple things, you know. TikTok, I will say doing TikToks is probably something I put the most thought in because you kind of, you know, with TikTok, the algorithm, you know, it's the song's got to be kind of a trending song.
Yeah.
You got to kind of have the right hashtags.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's one of those things. So it takes a little bit more mental to like do a good TikTok,
right?
Where like Facebook and Instagram, I mean, dude, you upload a couple photos,
you know, right? All your friends see it anyways. I mean, Instagram, you're gonna throw the hashtags in there for Instagram or whatever, but
yeah,
for the most part, you're right. Yeah. It's, you know, it's guaranteed to get whatever likes, but TikTok, I think you're right. TikTok, I think, does take a little bit more thought process behind putting together the video or whatever you're going to show. And again, that's where I think it just mentally exhausts me because by the time I mean, shit, man, sometimes when I'm end of the day trying to put my after videos up on, you know, Paint Assassins or my business Facebook page or whatever, you know, like I'll stare at the little flashing, you know, cursor icon, like, what am I going to text? And I'm like, you know, I don't have any brain power right now to text anything, you know? So it's like, you know, 2020 Audi S6, scroll on, you know, kind of thing, like I did on the last one or whatever. Because it just, you know, it's draining sometimes.
No, it is. And unfortunately, I say this all the time, like, you know, I wish that, you know, in some points that I made a budget to pay somebody to do it.
Yeah.
But then at the same point, I like it personally. Like, I like the words coming out of my mouth or off of my tongue.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be wrong. Like,
listen, I fully get it because I've tried, man. I've tried a couple of different times to pay people to, I did one of those Instagram, you know, social media things or whatever, like, oh, you know, give us access to your page and we'll create all the hashtags and we'll create this and, you know, we'll make you so much money. And, you know, 3 months later, you know, $90 a month, I saw nothing from it, you know, kind of deal. And, you know, and I've paid somebody who was, you know, going to, you know, kind of do all my sales for me and schedule all my appointments and things of that nature and promise me, like, you know, the world, I was going to be busier than I could, you know, I'd have to hire people. And 3 months later, like, I was standing around twiddling my thumbs, like, where's my work at? Like, I could schedule people, more people than this. So I get it, man. Like, sometimes you want to let somebody who knows what they're doing to do it. But at the same time, I think, unless you're a detailer, it's hard to sell this or it's hard to put it on social media because, yeah, you might be able to put the right hashtags for algorithms for, you know, hashtag Ferraris of Central Florida or whatever, and you're going to get all the Ferrari guys on there. But let's be honest, people with Ferraris aren't on Instagram looking at Ferraris of Central Florida hashtag, right? I mean, no. Right. You know, like,
they're not.
So, right. So, like, you know, how are you going to get that business that way kind of thing? So, you know, like, they promise all that stuff, but I really think it, you know, they don't have the knowledge or behind the actual industry to know how to push it and promote it. So it's right. Good when you do it yourself kind of deal. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just more personal. It's right. Just more, you know, I'm always going to have me in my best interest.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and that's simple as that.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody else is just going to be like, oh, it's time to pay me. And
well, yeah, it's a paycheck.
Right,
and that's the
right.
Thing. And I know how that is working for people.
Yeah.
You know, some days your head's not in it, but you're there just to get paid.
Yep.
You know, like I said, you know, I'm always going to keep me in my best interest. So
yeah.
For and now.
Sometimes it's also hard to trust. Like, what are they really doing? Like, oh, okay, yeah. We put it up. Like, what did you put up? What did you do? How much, you know, like, you know, they do one little thing for 10 minutes and then they're charging you for a whole month for their
right.
Work.
Right, exactly.
Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Okay, so this is the this or that portion of the show. We've run through the questions and we're really good on time. Actually a little bit over. So so you've listened to the show before, so I'm pretty sure you know most of these anyways. I'm sure you know how it goes, so it's kind of no need to explain it to you. Interiors or exteriors?
Exteriors.
Rupes or flex?
Flex.
Cleaning windows or washing and folding towels?
Washing and folding towels.
Sun shots or lighted shop shots?
Sun shots.
Mobile or shop?
That's a tough one. Shop, for the simple fact is that every time I do a mobile job, I always forget something.
Yep. I'm the same way. This morning I went to go do my monthlies and I loaded up last night when I left the shop and I forgot my extension cord and I was driving to my first appointment this morning. And for some reason, like I was just mentally like going through the stuff in the back of the Audi. And I was like, damn it, I forgot my extension cord. And I had to turn around. Luckily, I left early enough that I was only like 5 minutes late to my appointment, and they don't really care, but still forgot something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I like being at my shop because I have everything there.
Yeah.
But my shop isn't the best lighting ever. Like, you know what I mean? Gotcha. Like I still use like correction lights, like stand lights. I just haven't really had time to get it situated exactly how I wanted.
Right.
But mobile's nice because sometimes it's nice to just be somewhere different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, definitely. I always forget something though.
Yeah. Yeah. Left Twix or right Twix?
Left.
Okay. Wax or ceramic?
Ceramic.
Okay. And lastly, but not least, the most important question of all, are you Team Alex or Team Noxy?
Team Noxy.
Can't blame you.
He just, seriously, his podcast the other day, whatever, man, he's just funny as hell.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it did not go in. It listen, I didn't know how that was going to go. You know, he had pushed me off for so long. And I knew why. I knew why he did. He said in the podcast, you know, I mean, he wanted to make sure that I wasn't full of shit and just going to do this for a couple of episodes, you know, kind of deal. Yeah. He wanted to make sure I was serious about it and was taking it serious. You know, he doesn't tell me that he listens, but he drops hints here and there that lets me know that he maybe not listens to everyone, but I know he listens to a few of them.
Yeah.
You know, just by some of the things that he says and things that he's done. So, you know, Jason was, you know, in our little chat group, Jason was talking to him and he's like, I'm down for it. And I'm like, bullshit, you know, right. Heard that before.
Right.
You know, he's like, no. Seriously. And then like, it was like, you know, he's like, when we doing it, boys, when we doing it. And I'm like, shut up, dude, you're not doing it. He's like, when we doing it. And I'm like, what? So, So I told Jason, I was like, let's do it as a what's on your mind. Cause I mean, everybody kind of knows Noxy, and I didn't, you know, I didn't want to ask him questions. I wanted it to be just, you know, a guy's hangout kind of thing. Like what's on your mind is. So, I mean, I'll be honest with you, dude. I mean, it was like, we did that episode at 7 o'clock. It was like 6 o'clock and I was still doubting that he was going to show up, just because it's Noxy. Right. But yeah, I mean, once we got on, dude, I mean, me and Jason just kind of sat back and enjoyed the ride, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when he talks, that's the thing I love about Noxy is he can be, you know, punching you in the gut and then 2 seconds later giving you revelation type information that's going to change your world. You know, and I mean, he basically did that for me when I went and visited him, you know, in Atlanta last year, you know, and everything he told me, I stored in the data banks and worked on it throughout last year. And it definitely made me more profitable last year. You know, and, you know, so it was a fun episode. You know, even with all the shots that I took.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you give him a lot of shots. So
I do. I open my, you know, like I think I'm getting him, but I'm like leaving myself wide open that he's just like, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah.
So no, but you know, like that's the other thing that makes me, you know, kind of feel a little bit of Noxy love, because if he wasn't doing that, then I would know that, you know, we weren't really that close of friends, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't think he rags on everybody the way he rags on me.
Well, you know, it's so funny too. And like I said, I don't personally know him, but I've had some chats with him and he's, you know, he's helped me, you know, but like at the end of the day, I am a lot like that. I am a shit talking mofo. Yeah. Like, you know, like with my friends and stuff.
Yeah.
And like my family, like that's just me though. You know, yeah. I mean, it's when I'm quiet is when you should worry.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean, nothing he's ever said to me either on the podcast, on one of those Facebook lives that we've done or in our chat group has ever made me want to go sit and cry in the corner. I'm very thick skinned. I mean, I know it's all, you know, done for shits and giggles and stuff like that. He got me pretty good on the podcast. He did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, he gave me a whole lot of love, which to me just wiped out all that kick me in the balls type stuff.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, him being on there is definitely an accomplishment for you because
yeah,
he told you himself he didn't want to be on there unless he knew you were taking it serious. So
exactly. Yeah.
You're doing, you know what I mean?
And
that's good.
And listen, whether it's Noxy or not, I mean, even with you, I mean, like I take these seriously, you know, I mean, and I recently actually just today talked with Jason about, you know, our initial plan with the What's On Your Minds was to maybe only do it once a month, maybe twice a month. But I messaged Jason today and said, man, let's start doing this once a week. Just because there's so many people, you know, that, you know, I want on this, the Q&A side of it, but there's still other people that I want to talk to, like just bullshitting with, right?
Right.
With Jason and right. Everything. And I feel like, you know, unless I start adding more episodes, I'm never going to get to it. So, you know, like I started looking at it like, okay, this thing's gaining a little bit of traction. You know, people love the episodes or hate the episodes, I guess, depending on who's on, whether they like the person or not. But honestly, like to me, it doesn't matter. You know, if I've got somebody on, it's because again, that person has either blown me away with their work or, you know, I look up to them or, you know, whatever. That was the whole purpose of doing this thing. And so whether it's two people listen to an episode or 330 something people listen like with Esme, to me it doesn't matter. Like I'm still gonna do it because I want to talk to that person. I want to put it out there because somebody else might not know Josh Brofman but want to meet him or know a little bit about him, and that's what I think this podcast is perfect for. I take it serious whether Knox was going to be on it or not, but I'm glad that he sees that I'm taking it serious. And
yeah, absolutely.
You know,
and I'll be honest, I mean, I love what you're doing with it. Thanks, think it's great. I really do. I think it's awesome. I've probably listened to just about everyone.
Yeah.
I may have missed one or two, but it's good, you know. And the thing that's, you know, I think's the best is, let's be honest, I mean, none of us are real celebrities, you know what I mean, or anything. Yeah. You know, and a lot of people don't ever get a chance to really tell people who they are. Like, you know what I mean?
That's exactly why, you know, and again, I've said it before, you know, in the beginning, you know, Noxy was one of the people who's like, you got to get big names. Like this industry changes so much. You got to get the big names who are going to explain the change. And, you know, and I told him that's not what it's about. It's for the regular people. You know, I mean, I, the way that I think about this podcast is yes, it's a detailing podcast, but it's not a detailing podcast, right? Like I could shut this down today and call up my friends that, you know, work at a restaurant or work at a dealership or work at whatever and do the same thing for them. It's just
right.
It's a question and answer style, you know, podcast, but you know, it's detail without being detail, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it is. I mean, yeah, I ask a lot of detailing questions and whatever, because that's what we all want to hear. But at the same time, it's more of getting to know, like, well, how did you do it? Where did you come from? How did you do this? So that's what I think that makes it, you know, a little bit fun and gives everybody that, like you said, their voice to tell their story and how they came about and what they're doing and what they're, you know, like about it and things like that. So that's what makes it fun for me. And
yeah,
as long as people keep wanting to be on it with me, and we'll keep rolling. So
yeah, like I said, I'm super, you know, happy to be here. I'm glad. Yeah. I've been waiting yeah, for a while. I have. I've never done nothing like this.
Right. You know,
I haven't.
Yeah.
I've always lived in my bubble. I mean, I have my friends, my family, you know, my group of followers, whatever.
Right.
But, you know, it's one of those things. Like I said, I mean, it's good to be able to kind of tell people who you are. They actually hear you. You know, yeah, I'm not just, you know, a guy behind a, you know, a light shot. Like, you right, know what I'm saying?
Yep. No, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I mean, it's good.
And it's awesome. You know, I mean, I'm glad people are excited to be on it. I'm glad when I reach out to people, they're excited to be on it.
Yeah.
You know, some people are more excited than others. Some people are just like, yeah, man, I'll do it. And other people are like, hell yeah, dude, let's do this shit now. You know?
Yeah.
Right. you were so like,
I
kind of
have my like game one face on, but I was yeah, definitely like, hell yeah, let's do it
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Guy, yeah. Anthony, and I've got Anthony lined up for next week, I believe. We talked about doing next week, and he was definitely one like, yeah, dude, let's do this shit, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then, you know, and then other people I kind of reach out to that like I'm kind of like, will they? And you know, and they're like, yeah, and I'm like, oh shit, that's cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll have some cool things coming up. I mean, especially if we're going to open up the what's on your mind a little bit more and try to do that more of a weekly, we'll be able to bring in some, maybe more of those bigger name people too. And then bring back people, you know, the what's on your mind is also to bring back people that we've already talked to and talk to them a little bit more kind of deal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you ever run into a jam or you need like, somebody man, to fill in, dude, absolutely.
Hell yeah, brother.
Anytime, brother.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So before we jump off, as we're running a little bit long now, before we jump off, the infamous questions, where does everybody find you? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, only
all right, fans. Yeah, all right, so I'm not gonna put my OnlyFans stuff up, but you can DM me for that later.
Gotcha.
No, I'm yeah. But,
okay, so where's everybody DM you for your OnlyFans info?
All right, so Facebook,
yeah,
business is at Details Done Right LLC.
Uh-huh.
Personal page is Josh Broffman. Snapchat, Josh B0013. Instagram, Details Done Right LLC. And then my TikTok is Josh-Broffman.
Gotcha. All right. And then you heard him. DM him. He'll give you the OnlyFans info.
Yep. Yeah. Select few, though. Better be cute.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you doing this for me, man. It was definitely fun. It was definitely fun yep, to actually, you know, nice to actually talk to you. I know we've chatted and messaged before and everything like yep, that, but this was, you know, a whole lot different, you know, face to face.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. And like I said, I really appreciate it, Alex, man. You know, anytime, dude, I'd be more than happy. So
yeah. Now this can go up on your greatest achievements list, you know, celebrity car, celebrity cars,
out of it once Mercedes, it becomes.
Yeah, celebrity cars, Mercedes-Benz USA podcast. All right. Yeah.
Dude, no, I'm like, dude, I was on the Alex Russell podcast, like yeah, the Detail Solutions podcast.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
honestly,
yeah,
I could die tomorrow and I think I did what I had to do.
There you go. There you go. That guy that's riding Aaron Knox's coattails. I was on his podcast. Yeah. All right, brother, man. I'll talk to you later. You have a great night.
Yeah, and, you too, Alex.
And we'll talk soon, man. Thank you.
All right, buddy. See ya.
All right, buddy. Bye.